Happy March and happy bonus episode of the Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com is the website. General Manager Sean Sullivan will take great care of you there. Personal care. It's a family-owned dealership. They really do treat customers like family, and he will give you the Ira Kaufman Joe Bucks fan discount. And remember, they have service and a body shop there, and really all of your needs can be met at Bill Curry Ford. Now, this episode is special because it's not the regular Ira Kaufman podcast. We will still have two episodes of Ira this week, but you're going to hear today from Alex Marvez, the voice of SiriusXM NFL Radio, longtime beat writer. He's a Hall of Fame voter. Great perspective. He's always a great listen. If you've never heard Alex Marvez, you should listen in. We talk Bucks with him for a good stretch, and he's got a lot of interesting things to say beyond that. And Emory Hunt will join for a short interview. Great draft analyst, but he's really more of a scout than anything else. And you see him now on CBS. We've known him for years, since before he made it up to the big time, if you will, and he gets into some position groups in this draft specific to the Bucks, and that's a fun conversation also. At the end, you've got me, Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, with Lee DeCamper, the other Joe at Joe Bucks Fan, talking about our chat solo with Clyde Christensen at the Combine, the Buccaneers quarterbacks coach, and we touch on some of the themes that Clyde mentioned. And even before that, I give a little explanation of some of the things we didn't talk about but are in our past stories here at JoeBucksFan.com, and just some more insight into what Christensen had to say. So I will not waste any more of your time. We will get right to Alex Marvez here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast.
Alex, we've been a fan of yours for a long time. You've always been nice to us. We followed you back when you were sporting news columns. No, before that, you were with Yahoo?
Fox Sports.
Fox Sports, that's right, Fox Sports.
We go back a ways.
Yeah, it's been a ways. With the Bucks, JPP, what do you think his market is?
I think it's a good market. Really? I really do. Well, because, again, we're talking about supply and demand, right? And there's he's an established pass rusher, medical history, obviously. But you could say maybe two, three more seasons, maybe playing at a pretty darn high level. So I think that's something to feel encouraged about. You know, that I'm not saying that he's a break the bank type of player, and I think with Olivier Vernon's imminent release, that's, you know, water, it puts the market down a little bit. But I think at the end of the day, the guy is going to end up, you know, getting decent money. I can't tell you exactly what the market is, and some of it depends too right now because we have uncertain rules of the collective bargaining agreement.
As we're doing this,
we don't know franchise transition tags, who's going to actually hit the market, who isn't. I think Yannick Ngakoue also is a guy to watch. So, you know, for a team that's willing to not only pay the contract but give up the draft pick compensation if indeed Jacksonville is going to move on from him, if they feel that he's unsignable, try to maybe get that second round pick like they did, like Kansas City did with, Dee Ford, and also the trade of Frank Clark. So I just don't, the market is interesting. But, the Bucks have made an investment in him. They know him. They traded for him. And I think you saw the difference in the defense. I
mean, major.
You know, right, with Shaq Barrett.
Exactly.
And, you know, how much he was able to flourish once JPP came back. And, you know, with Carl Nassib also becoming an unrestricted free agent and Anthony Nelson not playing very much, it creates a problem. See, that's where it is. So if Tampa Bay doesn't re-sign him, what's the answer? Who do they then go after? Is it reuniting Todd Bowles with Marcus Golden? Are you better off doing that? I don't have an answer for you on that. So I think a lot of times with free agency, you're just better off sticking with the players that you have. But the price point, hard to tell.
It just smells like when they drafted Nelson, that they were eyeing him to replace Nassib. You know, and that's what generally you want to do with lower draft picks. You want them to replace starters when they potentially leave for free agents. He just seems to be a Carl Nassib clone. That's what he seems to play like.
Yeah, so I mean, so that then create, you know, he's not JPP.
No.
Let's just put it like that.
Yeah.
You know, and look, there's a lot to like about JPP. If it weren't for Ryan Tannehill, this is probably the comeback player of the year.
Yeah, right? That's a good point.
You think about it, because he
fractured neck,
and, you know, to get back out the way that he did and to contribute. And it was a Bucs defense that got better. The problem is the Tampa Bay season was so torpedoed, really almost from the beginning, that a lot of times, like as voters or for recognition, you sort of write a team off and you're not following their story. Like, we don't talk about the Jets being 6-2 in the second half of the season, but they were 6-2. They had a better record in the second half of the season than the Patriots. But we don't talk about that because, well, they were out of it from the beginning, so you don't pay attention to some of that stuff. But I think, you know, when you look back and you saw the improvement in this defense, you know, as the year went on, JPP was a big part of that.
When is the last time you've seen a home team Well, I know there's an AFC team that plays not too far from here in Indianapolis, but when's the last time you've seen a home or a team play so terribly at home? The Bucs had a rough road schedule, yet they had a 5-3 record on the road.
It's so weird, and I know this is something that probably will drive Bruce Arians crazy this offseason, trying to figure out how to tweak the schedule. Is it, you know, is your meeting schedule right? Are you doing enough? Or are players staying at home? Are they staying at a hotel? Like, you just look at the whole schedule and how you want to approach, you know, what you're doing the night before games. I don't think it's conditioning. I think this team, that wasn't an issue. I do think, though, lack of fan support is demoralizing, and the reality is when you're putting, you know, ticket giveaways or whatever on car windows and you're struggling to sell seats, it creates a bad environment. When you have stadium takeovers, it affects your psyche as a team. I'm not saying that happened to the Bucks. I'm not around them on a daily basis, but it's not a good thing. And you know, want to get that stadium, Raymond James Stadium, filled back up with Bucks fans. I mean, look, man, Lee, you know this. When I would go up there to in the early 2000s, after the Super Bowl, and even before, this was a Bucks town through and through.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pewter everywhere, everywhere. And then in about the late 2000s, you know, the bloom came off the rose. And people just abandoned this team seemingly in droves from what the support once was. And you would just hope that, you know, people recognize it's a pretty exciting style of football. I think they're going in the right direction. And hopefully some of them come back.
Is part of that the dog chasing the tail? What I mean by that is, it's to the point where fans are like, why should I buy a ticket to watch a losing team at home? They're going to lose at home. I'm not going to spend all this money to watch a losing game.
It's funny, though, because I think it's a good game day experience. Like, I actually, for one of the games, you know, the Steelers game on Monday Night Football, you know, when Fitzpatrick and Jameis were doing their thing, I just went out into the stands and drank beer and, you know, went around the giant, you know, the pirate ship. And I think and the screens are great.
Yeah, those new screens are fantastic.
I mean, I get it. It's hot. It's easier to watch a game on television. It's expensive to take a family. But I don't think it's like a cost prohibitive thing there with the Bucks. And I just don't think it's asking you to watch losing football. I mean, I just think, you know, can you get people to trust that this team's going in the right direction, that they're in it to win it, those types of things. I mean, and that's, you know, that's one of the big challenges that they have in trying to sell this product.
Now, is that a Florida thing? I know you're a Florida guy. You're a South Florida guy. You went to UF. You live in Gainesville now.
I live in Gainesville, but I grew up in Miami, and I saw people abandon the Dolphins because they didn't win, and they got frustrated. And you know, again, you don't know what you got till it's gone. For a while, Lee, look, man, people weren't satisfied. Double-digit wins, playoffs, no, because they were thinking Super Bowls. It's like the University of Miami fan base that, you know, oh well, who cares about when they first joined the ACC? Who cares about winning an ACC title? Well, all of a sudden, after years of being mediocre, pretty much, you know, it became a huge deal to finally get that done. Well, you know, I think, you know, look, you're not going to, unless you're New England, and even this is a rare occurrence, you're not going to win every year. But the problem is that for the Bucks, it's been year after year of this. And listen, it eroded the fan base there. It's eroding the fan base in Jacksonville. I mean, I think they have 80 losses over the past 7 years.
Jacksonville, too?
You know, and that's tough. They've sold tickets, but people don't go. And now they're only going to be playing 6 home games. So, because of that. Yeah, I mean, I think, too, because of the fact that they're doing some construction at the stadium. They legitimately are. And because they're trying to change it in one part of the stadium area into an entertainment district. But I think, too, they have a foot in London. They want to continue to have that foothold. And, you know, if they're going to play over there, try to make it a home field advantage by being there for 2 weeks, which allows them to, you know, market their team, but also give guys more of a sense of routine as far as, you know, preparing for the game. So, but it could be a Florida thing too, because there's so many transplants. I mean, we're wacky down in Florida, as you know. We do have Florida Man, but they need to sell about 50,000 Florida season tickets to Florida Man to try to get this going.
As far as I can remember, literally, you've always worked for Sirius XM NFL Radio.
I've worked for them since 2006 part-time, came on board full-time a while ago. And I was working long hours before becoming full-time, but now full-time probably about 6-7 years ago.
When did they launch?
We launched in 2004.
Okay, so 2 years later, you jumped on board. Wow. What's it like? You co-host with two Hall of Famers. You co-host with Gil Brandt. You co-host with Bill Polian. Now, Gil Brandt, we're talking from the combine. This was Gil Brandt's baby. He hatched this. Now, of course, he never dreamed it would turn into what it is, but he hatched this. What's it like to gain knowledge about prospects from a guy like Gil Brandt?
It's amazing because he recognizes physical traits. I'll tell you, we were on the practice field at then San Diego Chargers camp a few years ago, and within 30 seconds, he had identified Tyrell Williams as a player who was going to be a good player.
Wow.
30 seconds. Undrafted college free agent from Western Oregon. He knew.
Wow.
You know,
that's nice.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So he's gifted. That's why he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So he looks at measurables. You know, again, like you point out, I'm glad you did, and I'll share a story that Gil shared with me this week about the origins of the Combine. It started because of Nolan Cromwell. He was the prime example.
Rams,
this was
right?
In the late 70s with the Rams. This was back when he was a Kansas quarterback, and he had suffered an injury. And back then, you had to visit teams, and they would x-ray you individually to find out about your medical. The guy was on his 15th trip by the time he got to Dallas. He's carrying this giant stack of x-rays and medical reports, and he's exhausted.
Yeah.
And then they realized there's got to be a better way. So let's get an event together where we can bring in the players to one spot to be able to get them medically tested. The original Combine, Gil says, had four drills.
That's wow.
It. Four. They introduced 16 new drills this week for players. They had like, it was simple. It was, you know, it was 40-yard dash, you know, stuff like that, just really primitive type of testing numbers. But he'd been using them for a long time. And again, he's the godfather of analytics in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he was. I saw an NFL Films documentary where he went to IBM, did he not?
Yeah, to get a computer.
And this was back in the early 60s.
Yeah, before anyone else. And Vince Lombardi scoffed at the computer one year. And then a couple years later was asking him for it. So it's amazing to work with Gil because he's still a 24-hour, you know, a day work person.
Wow.
Relentless. And with Bill Polian, it's interesting how Bill views the Combine because he wouldn't sit in on player interviews. He thought it was not the way to go. So his team psychiatrist, that's what they relied upon. They took a different approach. They were looking for certain traits in players, and they completely trusted the team psychologist to, you know, to make a determination whether this person had the characteristics that they believe would make them a successful Indianapolis Colt.
Now, I'm asking you because Polian's not here, but is one of those reasons why he didn't like to sit on interviews that he thought he might be influenced by an interview?
Of course.
And where you're supposed to base it strictly
fooled.
On the field?
You get fooled, and you fall in love with these kids. I'm talking to guys today, man. You know, Yeter Gross-Matos from Penn State. How do you not pull for a young man whose father drowned, saving him at the age of one, and then whose 10-year-old brother gets electrocuted by lightning leaving a baseball field? And while he says he still has a smell on his nose.
Wow, from the lightning bolt.
Yeah. I mean, how do you not want that young man to succeed? You, of course you want him to succeed. Can it influence you? Or is it someone who just interviews poorly?
That's a good point.
Just, you know, those types of
things. Because that will influence you. Same with Kinlaw. I don't know if you saw
Javon Kinlaw. Of course,
That blew me away where he said he went to junior college for one reason only, or two reasons only, so he could have food to eat and a place to sleep. Whoa, how could you not root for a guy like that?
Of course, and that can cloud you.
Cloud you.
Maybe the guy's having a bad day. Maybe the guy's tired. So that's why they, you know, and look, I'm not making excuses for players who have bad combine interviews, but that was just something from Bill that I picked up. And, of course, I do work with Tim Brown in season. So I just wanted to give former Buccaneer Tim Brown.
I didn't want to
give any short shrift to Tim Brown as well of the Hall of Fame list.
When you come to the combine, is your goal is to just – gain information from the players, because these guys are all rehearsed.
At this point, see, now that I'm not writing anymore, and that's not a problem. I'm working with All Elite Wrestling also. My plate is very full, along with my full-time radio job. You know, my job is to try to get backstories on players to be able so that when you listen to SiriusXM, the hosts are knowledgeable, and we ask questions of the guests like we know them.
Mm-hmm.
So I research, and every guest here, I'll have, you know, four or five questions prepared, because I'm working with two other people, so we're not going to keep the guy forever. But we'll have questions prepared to spell out the ports of their background. You try to talk about some fun stuff. We had the lineman today from Texas Christian, and his dad was a Harlem Globetrotter.
Really?
Currently coaches the team. So we talk about Globetrotter. It's an icebreaker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you're able to do that. So I think that's the cool part about this. So that's what you look at. Look, and you renew acquaintances. It's a people business.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a question, hear speculation, and look, I'll still break some news here and there, but you like being able to reach out and talk. Like I saw Mike McCarthy for the first time in a while, you know, the former Packers coach. And it had been a minute or two, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was great to be able to see him, talk, exchange, hey, now that you're back, we'll be more in touch, et cetera. You know, we're traveling gypsies in this business. That's why media hangs out with media. Your family on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of us in the NFL community. It's the same way. Seeing people that you aren't able to see on a regular basis, you get to catch up with them here. And I think it's one of the things that's unfortunate for the teams that don't send their coaches. Because I think, you know, there's things that you hear that can be very valuable and just a camaraderie that goes into it. For example, Dave Tobe, the chief special teams coach, all the special teams coaches get together for a dinner, and the coach whose team wins the Super Bowl has to pay for it.
Oh, boy.
So Dave Tobe finally gets to foot the bill for 31 other special teams coaches and himself. So order the shrimp cocktail. Order two of them if you're a special teams coach.
There you go. I know you used to be a Hall of Fame voter. I don't know if you still are.
Am.
You still are, okay. Still have that badge. I'm sure you've got an Ira story. Ira's very colorful with his presentations, very entertaining.
I want to do an Ira impression, but I don't feel like I'm going to do it justice.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But his presentations are very powerful. You know, he catches your attention. His inflection of voice is very good. His presentation of stats is good. We all respect Ira, too. That's the thing. You know, when you have a presenter, and I'm not knocking other presenters,
sure,
but when you have a presenter who has the history that he does above the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that's a significant thing when it comes to explaining a player. And, you know, he's doing the best he can for John Lynch. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an easy process. Getting safeties in is very difficult, especially when there's so many safeties, you know, seemingly mm-hmm. knocking at the door from Steve Atwater. You know, we had, others that have come through. Troy Polamalu, of course.
Easily even.
Kenny Easley as a senior candidate, though. But still people say, oh, well, we got a safety in, so I'm going to vote for another position.
Yeah.
These things are challenging. But no, Ira does a fantastic job, you know, presenting. The Bucks are in good hands with him.
The thing about Ira, see if you remember this, and Ira's really proud of this, and I heard through the grapevine, I know Peter King mentions this, the Muriel Berkowitz line, Ed Sable, where he dropped Muriel Berkowitz, that NFL Films is so powerful, he couldn't leave his Brooklyn apartment because he had to watch NFL Films, and therefore he couldn't get a date with Muriel Berkowitz.
That's pretty darn good. I like that. I like that Ira line. That's a good story. I don't remember it, but I tell you, that's powerful. And again, if that's something where, as contributors, when you're a Hall of Fame voter, you not only contribute potentially as someone who gives a presentation for a player, but you also weigh in. You may have questions, or you may want to offer support for a player that you feel belongs in the Hall and bring up some relevant stats, or you may point something out that isn't so flattering. That's why we ask for confidentiality in the room about
sure.
what takes place, so you mm-hmm. feel comfortable to talk freely and not have it come back. Now, whether that actually happens, that's another story altogether. You know, they're media. They gossip. They're young. You know, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what, in theory, though, that's why we have closed-door sessions, so that people can feel speak candidly about the candidacy of a player or coach.
Okay. I know you're full-time. You just said you're full-time. SiriusXM NFL Radio. It's 7 to 11 weeknights?
7 to 11 p.m. weeknights during the off-season. I have a varied schedule. I work 6 days a week usually, weekends 2 to 6 p.m. during the off-season normally. And you can see me on All Elite Wrestling behind mm-hmm. the scenes.
Yeah, Blink Spimp that as well.
Backstage interviews, doing that on Wednesday nights. So when I'm not working on SiriusXM, I am there. When I am not there, I am on SiriusXM.
Now, how can people catch you on your wrestling?
They can just go TNT every Wednesday night, 8 to 10 Eastern time. We're on. And on the TNT app, you can watch us there as well. And you can follow me on Twitter at Alex Marvez. I post my schedule when I'm coming on. And I'm welcome to also answer any questions that you have in personal dirt on Ira. In fact, I'm happy to provide it. There's no question.
No, just one question about the wrestling. Isn't that partially financed by Shad Khan's son?
By Tony Khan, one of my best friends. And,
okay.
And we were able to build up a relationship through pro wrestling because he had read me growing up and knew who I was. And then when his family bought the Jaguars, we met in the locker room with Bill Polian, incidentally enough, on a training camp tour, introduced himself, we hit it off, and after that, we just became really close friends, and when he said he wanted to do this, I said, I'm in. You know, he asked me if I'd like to be a part of it. I am, and I'm doing whatever I can to help him, and, you know, he is a brilliant mind when it comes to pro wrestling. We have made a huge splash. We've already got a contract extension with TNT through 2023. We're a profitable
wow.
company. And you think about the people who have lost their butt in wrestling through the years.
Yeah.
And we've hit the ground running. So it's been amazing. And to just see how things work behind the scenes is incredible because, you know, I was a beat writer for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee, we all do the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know everything. We don't know, yeah. you know, how coaches really feel about somebody. Is a guy having personal problems at home? You know, why, you know, are they a different type of learner? All these things. When you're behind the scenes, and again, media does the best they can in most cases trying to present an accurate picture. But to be honest with you, Mr. Brandt showing up here. But to be honest with you, they don't know everything. So that's why it's important, I think, when you're able to see things behind the scenes, how it works.
I got one quick question. I think it's a Tampa Bay hook I have for you. I just remember this. Didn't you work with Gary Shelton at the Miami Herald?
I did work with Gary Shelton.
Because Gary Shelton used to say, you used to get tapes in the mail from Japan about wrestling.
Yes.
You know, American wrestlers over
in
Japan.
I got them from Stampede Wrestling in Calgary, from Portland, Oregon. That was back in the day before the internet. And you wanted to see different styles of wrestling? That's what I ended up getting to.
Our thanks to Alex Marvez for taking out of his busy schedule at the NFL Scouting Combine to sit down for the podcast. And, of course, we had a lot of fun off the air as well. So Alex is a great guy, and I was really intrigued to hear his insight on the market value for Jason Pierre-Paul. It's a topic that Lee and I spent a lot of time at the NFL Scouting Combine talking to different people about, because JPP is sort of the guy you don't hear about when it comes to money and free agents and his value on the open market. Reality is the guy has 21 sacks in his last 26 games. He's healthy again, and he's 31 years old, but he's a freak of nature type guy who takes great care of himself when he's not blowing his hand off and breaking his neck. And you assume that he's going to go for quite a while, and like Alex said, probably has multiple years at an elite level, or at least a top flight level left. So what is that going to require of the Bucks to get him signed? And he is a big piece of this puzzle. So fun to go there. We even have more coming up later in the week from people we've talked to about JPP's market value. That should interest every Bucks fan. Now, our next up is Emery Hunt talking a little draft. And speaking of the draft, Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. That is where this year's big annual draft party is going to be, April 23rd. We're going to get started at 6 p.m. And yes, it's all about the fun and the fans and Ira, and we always have hundreds of people out there. But I want you to know how great the beer is from Big Storm. You can buy it all over the place, all over town, into Orlando, across Florida. Big Storm Brewery, brewed right in Clearwater. Their Storm Tracker is available through any of the ads on our site. You can click on it to figure out where you can find the beer in your neighborhood. And you can go to bigstormbrewery.com. They have three tap rooms, including the one with the fantastic food in Clearwater where the event will be. And you can use their Storm Tracker there and read about all of their beers, from the Wavemaker Amber Ale to the Bramosa Tangerine IPA, the Tropic Pressure Pale Ale, and there's so many to choose from, and they really are excellent, excellent beer. I've never heard anyone say Big Storm sucks, and Lee is a huge beer drinker and is always downing the Wavemaker, so that's their original, and it's good stuff. So bigstormbrewery.com is the website. Remember the draft party. You're seeing all the information at joebucksfan.com. We're going to have a small window for reservations. Limited number of tables will be set aside for reservations. That's going to pop later this week at joebucksfan.com. If you want to make sure you have a set VIP kind of table for yourself, doesn't mean you need a reservation to go, not even close, but we're putting aside some tables that we're going to reserve in advance for fans, which should be a little different twist this year, and we're looking forward to doing that. All right, here is the czar of the playbook, Emery Hunt. Enjoy.
This guy needs to work for NFL Network. This guy's smooth. I got to meet him a couple years ago at the Shrine Bowl practices in St. Pete, Shorecrest, if I remember right, Shorecrest High School. And Emery, and I've been a fan of his videos for so long, and I've been a fan of his analysis. He's fantastic. Emery, thanks for joining the Ira Kaufman podcast here.
Well, I appreciate you having me on anytime, man. It's been fun to see you out here and see you at all the All-Star Game events, man. So glad to be on the show.
No problem. So, and I'm going to butcher his name. You just told me the correct pronunciation, but Ben
Barch.
Okay. He's a Division III guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Offensive lineman. He's here at the Combine. I thought from what I read, he did well at the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He screams Jason Light. He loves small school offensive linemen. And if you combine that, if the guy had a nice Senior Bowl, it's like teed up for Jason Light. Tell me about this guy.
Well, he's a really good athlete. And coming from Division III, you want to see how guys dominate. You saw that with Ali Marpet down at Hobart when he was up there at Division III as well. So Barch is another one of these type of guys that could dominate. He's a good athlete that can probably play inside as a guard as well as playing tackle. So he has that position flexibility. And at the Senior Bowl, held his own. The biggest thing you worry about when you're coming from Division III to playing in the NFL or playing against the FBS guys is how well they can handle the consistency of the strength, speed, explosiveness. After about a day, that didn't even matter. He was right on par with guys at Michigan or Temple.
Mm-hmm.
So he held his own. His tape matches up with his athleticism. I think he's going to be a good player.
Man, Chaisson with LSU. I never read this, that he's tagged as just a speed guy. He didn't like that. I don't know if you saw that him at the podium. He didn't care for that too much.
No, he wants to be known as a guy that can do it all. And to be honest, that's how he's supposed to be. The more you can do, the longer you're going to play, the more you're going to get paid. And, you know, for him, I don't think he has that explosiveness as a Barcavius Mingo had. You know, and they play the same type of position.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a little bit more stout at the point than Barcavius was. So he plays run better. And I think that's why he was upset. He's like, hey, man, I can play the run just as well as I can get after the quarterback. So don't think I'm just one-dimensional.
Now, here's one for you, Javon Kinlaw. A lot of Bucks fans like him. You know, they're not one to replace Sue, the Bucks fans. Everybody likes Sue, but they know he may move on. Mm-hmm. They know he's not a spring chicken. He's 33, if I recall. He's durable as can be, but sooner or later, Father Time always wins. Always wins.
Always.
A lot of Bucks fans are seeing Kinlaw as maybe the successor to sue someday. And I love his background. He went to junior college just so he could have a place to sit or sleep, just so he could have food on his plate. That's the only reason why he went. And look where he is. And that to me speaks volumes about a guy.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those all-time story guys in here. Also, Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma has a unique story as well. So you get to find those backstories here at the Combine.
Yeah,
he's a guy that's versatile. He can play all three. And one thing I know about South Carolina, they're taught technique real well up front. So he's going to be a guy that's going to show good hand usage. He's going to, you know, be explosive off the ball. He can play any technique up front, and he does provide that versatility that you look for in today's NFL.
I think I've always written all offseason, it's fair to assume the big three free agents the Bucs have, Shaq, JPP, Sue, I think it's fair to assume one of those guys won't come back.
Right.
Now, the Bucs are putting a happy face on it, like, oh, no, we think we can get him back. So Bucs fans are paying particularly close attention to pass rushers and defensive tackles. Who are some guys that you or I didn't mention yet in this conversation you think Bucs fans might be sitting there at 14?
Well, at 14, you have a wide array of places you can go. But let's look at even deeper to where they can possibly do later on outside of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Jabari Zuniga out of Florida is outstanding.
Mm.
You know, outside of Chase Young, he's probably the next best guy that has that level of explosiveness.
Really?
Level of burst. More just coming off the edge,
okay,
per se. And as far as, like, if you're looking, because you had Anthony Nelson last year that you drafted from Iowa on the roster as well. So you want to see how he develops and move in. But if you're looking for a versatile defensive lineman, you have A.J. Epinesa from Iowa. That type of versatility, he's probably more of a five tech. He can play like what Sue was playing in that defense. So he's another one that you don't have to take in at pick 19. You probably could get him in the second round, or you take him early and then get Zuniga later. So you can double up at that position because there's a lot of different versatile talents that are in this class.
You do some stuff for CBS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are some other places we can see you besides CBS?
Footballgameplan.com, sportsline.com. I do stuff on Game Plus Network. We have five TV shows.
Wow.
So it's awesome. Our scout team show is our NFL draft show. That's Thursdays, every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Game Plus Network. And Friday, we have our XFL Game Day show, which is 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Game Plus Network. So check your cable provider for local listings.
Not only are you knowledgeable, you work your tail off. And that's also a thing I really liked about you. I see you everywhere. And that shows me you work, you got the work ethic, you got the knowledge, because you pick up knowledge when you go to these places. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, we represent the fans. We're the eyes and ears of the fans. And we, at least I learn, and I know you learn when you go to these things. Man, I don't know why NFL Network doesn't hire you. I know I always tell you that, but you're true. You're that good.
I appreciate that.
And you can watch your videos on YouTube, right?
Yeah, youtube.com/footballgameplan. You can check out we're putting out our prospect rankings, so they can go get those grades. Now, cornerbacks will be out in 2 weeks, because when I get back from here, I'll start grading those guys and safeties and then put those out in 2 weeks.
Our thanks to Emery Hunt for joining in. He really, his stuff, his videos are fantastic. You should follow his lead on YouTube and check them out. Now, we had a lot of fun at Radio Row at the NFL Scouting Combine. We have more interviews coming up later this week in Ira Kaufman podcasts, which will feature Ira himself. And it was great to be there at Radio Row. We had a great spot, front row, big Ira Kaufman podcast banner. I was surprised they put us in the front row, but we were right there, ESPN Cleveland on our left, and Pro Football Focus and their whole setup to our right, which was a little bit ironic considering we're not the biggest fans of the PFF tribe, but we didn't mingle, we didn't become tribesmen, and it's all good. I want to remind you to go to Pin Chasers, three Tampa area locations. That is where you go bowling in the Bay Area. Great food, great fun, daily specials, sometimes two in a day. Shoes are always free. Fantastic place to have a company party, a birthday party, and it's always a great night out. Tuesday is the all-you-can-eat pizza bowl. Get to pinchasers.net to see all the daily specials. You can reserve a lane there as well. Pin Chasers is a family-owned business, many, many decades. You will enjoy yourself there. You'll be treated well, and the prices are always fantastic, in my opinion. So get to Pin Chasers, pinchasers.net, to see what you want to do there, because they're going to have an option for you that fits you perfectly and your family or with your friends, pinchasers.net. Now, up next is Lee and I chat about our solo chat with Clyde Christensen, the Buccaneers quarterbacks coach, who we spent a good time with, had a pretty candid chat with. Christensen is a great talker, and we don't talk about everything he talked about here, but we summarize some key points. A few things that are not here. Christensen at Radio Row talked about how Jameis is being coached to lead. And that's one thing that he and Bruce Arians would talk to him about, which was taking over the building and understanding that you're the quarterback. And as your energy goes, that's how the secretary and the receptionist goes. And very interesting mindset there. You know, Bruce Arians talked a lot preseason about, hey, Jameis just needs to focus on playing quarterback. But Christensen reveals that, yeah, you know what? Jameis was really being coached to understand his leadership role in the entire team. That story is at joebucksfan.com. You can go back. I think it's probably on the second page of stories right now, maybe the third. But it's actually, I see it here. As of Monday morning, it is there on the second page. Also, if you scroll back even farther, you'll see that Christensen talked about how he wanted to be a little less aggressive with the football, and especially it came to a head in the Jacksonville game with the Bucs up 25-0. Arians did not want to sit on the ball with a little bit less than 2 minutes in the half deep in Bucs territory. And it's a fun little story, and it gives you a window, or makes you wonder even more, who was calling the shots, who was calling all the plays and the direction, because we did see the Buccaneers many times sort of go turtle with the football and not necessarily be aggressive and try to run out the clock with Peyton Barber. And based on what Christensen just said, it may not have been Bruce Arians' way. So I don't know, but it's worth reading. That's also at joebucksfan.com. But we had many other things to talk to Christensen about, and here is our summary of that. So enjoy. All right, Lee, we are here at Radio Row at the NFL Scouting Combine, continuing our week of fun and madness and mayhem and snow, which is always a unique thing for us Florida boys. And we also just finished chatting for an extended private chat with Clyde Christensen, Buccaneers quarterbacks coach. And that was a lot of fun. We appreciate him talking to us. We knew it was on the record, but then we were just chatting like guys, and then we were back on the record. And, you know, a lot of fun with him to really get some insight into everything. So, Lee, a couple of things stood out to me, and then I'll hit you that stood out for you. Christensen, what an old school football guy he is, right? I'm asking him about differences between interviewing players now versus 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And he's like, they're just guys, and who cares what they have to say? It's all about, you know, football, and football's the great equalizer. Get blocking and tackling and playing. And, you know, just he just oozes old school in so many ways. But, you know, doesn't have his head in the sand by any stretch. And another thing, Lee, and we can talk a little more about that, was he admitted that he was assigned to scout Tom Brady and did scout Tom Brady and other veteran quarterbacks and go through all their film and prepare a report, which is the word he used, prepare a report for Jason Light and Bruce Arians on Tom Brady. And he was laughing about it. He was saying, you know, gosh, here I am, I'm grading Tom Brady film. What the heck is that? And he really had a lot of fun with it. And, I pressed him a little bit on that. And he talked about trying to remain objective, you know, when you're grading the greatest quarterback who ever lived. And who knows how many years he went back. But I'm assuming it was mostly last year's film. But it really stuck out his just how serious he was about doing that job of grading these veterans.
That's true. And frankly, I'd rather give you a scouting report of that brunette over your shoulder. Holy smokes. What? I can't remember her name. She's an Italian chick that does the Dancing with the Stars, which I never watch, but she used to be on E! Network. Oh, my God. That's what this chick looks like, only about 24 years old. Oh, my God. Hey. I got other people here interested. Tables next to us. Like, I want to hear this scouting report. Clyde Christensen. You got me messed up here, Steve. Clyde Christensen. He was old school in the sense that, like, you started to reference it. He talked about interviewing players. And he said, you know what? The real guys show up on the field. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter, you know, you wear nice clothes or whatever. If you're a player, you'll show it on the field. The most interesting thing Clyde Christensen said, he had to know we were going to ask this. What else would we talk about? He had to know we were going to ask this. I point blank asked him, is Jameis coming back? His response, I hope so. And then he went on to say that there's moving parts, shall we say, that he has no control of, that will determine that.
Now, that, what I'm about to say, he told me this. This really wasn't much of a surprise, but he just talked about what a workaholic Jameis is. The way he talked about Jameis is almost like a perfect player for a coach. He said anything they asked him to do, yes, sir, no, sir. He attacked whatever they asked him to do, worked his tail off, that he never, ever balked, never, ever complained. And in Christian's own words, it's not like he ever flipped me the finger.
And that's a quote right there.
That's a quote right there. It's not like he flipped the finger at me.
Yeah, he painted Jameis as an ideal and eager student.
Eager.
Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Yes, sir. And you know, we talked a little bit about Jameis improving the deep ball. And I had heard here, you know, there's so many people to talk to here. You know, some guys, not worth explaining who they are. They were talking about Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback's mechanics. And they were talking with Greg Cosell, who I spoke with at length after this chat, and Greg Cosell of NFL Films. They were talking about how Josh Allen, he has such a big cannon of an arm and probably has since he was a little kid, that those kind of players get used to overcompensating their arm or undercompensating it, however you want to refer to it, that basically their mechanics and their legs don't catch up to that arm because they didn't need the mechanics in their legs for so long. And it could be tougher on the big-armed quarterbacks to adjust.
Because they relied on their arm their whole upbringing.
And just that it's so powerful that when they have to change how they use it, it changes things. You know, Jameis doesn't have a Josh Allen arm, but he has a very strong arm league-wide. And I talked to Christensen about that, who sort of fluffed it off. Like, yeah, you know, these guys just have – he said there's a little credence to that, but these guys just have to get into very strong mechanics and rhythms and relearn stuff. Mm-hmm. And – he went to the point that the NFL has lost a lot of mechanics teachers, has lost a lot of, in the coaching ranks, guys who are just fundamentals driven. And Christensen went on to say, you know, there's so much more focus now on scheme and who's the genius.
Plays.
And this and that. Yeah, plays.
Draw pretty plays. Everybody, he was talking about how people are so focused on drawing up pretty plays, they forget the most important thing, your core fundamentals. And without the core fundamentals, you could drop the prettiest play there is, it won't work.
And one thing that was very steady from Jason Light and Bruce Arians, and of course it's undeniable, so it's not like they can spin that, but even other people we've talked to, Jameis's deep ball improved drastically.
Well, stats bear that out. You can't ignore that.
Right. Comparing him to Josh Allen, when I talked a little bit to Greg Cosell, Josh Allen, Greg Cosell pointed to one big deep ball he completed all year.
And that's supposed to be his forte.
Very late in the season, just that if you don't have that accuracy, then who cares how you can throw the ball without the accuracy? And, of course, we all know that about accuracy, but hearing Christensen talk about Jameis.
Yeah, well, I asked him, I said, are you looking forward to working with Jameis this year? He said, yes. I mean, enthusiastically, he said, yes. I said, now here's the question, Clyde. Is he coming back? And he's like, I hope so. And his demeanor kind of got a little depressed when I asked him. Not depressed that just depressed that he knows it's out of his control. He knows that it's, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. Now, maybe a decision's been made. I don't know that either. But, you know, I asked him about his interceptions. I said, you know, Jameis has never had 20 interceptions before. His highest is 18. Not that that's good. I said, his highest is 18. He damn near doubled it. And then I asked him, I said, you know, can you figure out a way to cut these down? And he was very confident. Yeah, we can find a way. Yeah. He was confident about that. And then my next question again, I asked him, are you looking forward to working with him this year? Yeah. You know, yeah. And then the third question, I said, now, Clyde, here it comes. Is he coming back? And he said, well, I hope so.
Well, of course, they can cut the interceptions. Clyde Christensen's a deep man of faith, a man of deep faith, so he could pray with Tony Dungy.
Oh, you mean he could do a Jason Light? He could look to the sky for a divine guidance?
Sure, and I'm not knocking prayer at all. I'm just having a little fun with it. Christensen actually supposedly has had a lot of bonding with Jameis because they're both
religious guys.
And Christensen, though, he's a name here in Indianapolis, working here alongside Bruce Arians, is working with Peyton Manning, and he's been around the block. He did a lot of good work with Ryan Tannehill. I regretted that I didn't ask him about working with Tannehill in
Miami,
and then Tannehill, you know, didn't really get along there. He got launched, and all of a sudden, his mechanics are better, everything's better, It's, you know, he had that breakthrough year. Would have been an interesting guy to ask about. I didn't think of it.
Didn't he work for Gase? Is that correct?
He did. And then he was sort of, his duties were kind of cut back, and then he left. And I don't remember the whole story, but, you know, he worked with Tannehill. So, but he's worked with so many quarterbacks, and he is considered a very strong fundamentals guy. And when I talked to Steve Mariucci, who I had written something on JoeBucksFan.com, after we shut off the audio, I talked about the coaches. I joked with Mariucci. I said, hey, you think they might call you for a little consult? You know, you worked with Favre. Come on down for
Worked with Jameis at one time, too.
Well, that was just, you know, just for TV kind of stuff.
Well, he also coached him in an All-Star game, maybe two All-Star games. So there's a little bit more of a connection than an interview or two.
But he talked about, you know, the coaching that Jameis is getting here. He was like, you know, please, yeah, come on. Yeah. These guys are some of the best coaching crew.
That sounds like him. Please, come on.
Some of the best coaching crew for quarterbacks in the league. At least that's a reputation. So, yeah, I mean, no one's saying that Jameis is undercoached, for sure. But, you know, it's just part of the ongoing mystery of Jameis Winston, Decision Jameis 2020, that we really don't know for sure. I still think, Lee, that there's a strong chance he comes back. Because
I'd say 60% now. I wouldn't say they were negative, but they sure as hell weren't positive. Yet when I say they, I'm talking about Jason Light and Arians. Jason Light was so, you know, he kept talking, door number two. And I bluntly asked him when he was at the podium, I said, Jason, you keep talking about door number two so much. Are you worried Jameis or Jameis' agent are going to say, hey, man, you want door number two so bad? You can have it. We're leaving. And then he gave me some weird answer like, well, I talk with Jameis' agent often and I get along with him. That's not answering the question. That doesn't mean you're going to hack the guy off or not.
Yeah, and we had hit on that. You can catch, we've hit on a lot of subjects here from the Combine. The podcasts are available at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher. iTunes is actually Apple Podcasts, but you can catch them at JoeBucksFan.com. Any final thoughts on Christensen? I know we hit a lot of topics with him. And,
great guy.
That's
the first time I've ever just talked to him outside of a press conference when, you know, I'm one of 30 people or whatever. So that's the first time I ever actually, and you know, he was really, really cool guy. And, you know, I asked him about the interview process with Combine, how things have changed. And he said one of the things that have changed since he started coaching in the NFL is, you know, it used to be, have you smoked dope? That's like a big red X. Now, he said, how many states have legalized dope? So it's no longer a social stigma.
Yeah, and he talked about, he didn't name the name, but he did say he's been interviewing quarterbacks here.
Yeah.
So, and he's only in on the quarterbacks room, and he said multiple quarterbacks that he's been interviewing here, which is no surprise, of course.
Not at all. And matter of fact, I'll let people in on a secret. This was told to me some years ago. I won't go into detail about the conversation because it was off the record. And maybe I shouldn't even say this. But Jason Light actually sat in on an interview with Jared Goff. And he was telling me about why he didn't think Jared Goff would succeed in the NFL. I won't go into detail. But, you know, so if people are thinking, oh, my God, the Bucs are interviewing quarterbacks. Their general manager was interviewing quarterbacks years ago with Jameis on the roster with no intention of replacing him. But that's just, you know, as Mark Domenech would call it, due diligence.
Yeah, and Christensen mentioned that he interviewed a quarterback who literally, is how he explained it to us, literally had never taken a snap from under center.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
And, you know, Christensen was just like, you know, how do you evaluate those guys?
Yeah.
And you talked to him a little bit about the evolution of offensive linemen. And, you know, he talked about the spread college game having so many plays that by the time you get to the late 50s in the snap count, according to Christensen, the rush is eating up the line and the line's exhausted. And then it's so hard to evaluate those guys because they're not playing 60 snaps. They're playing 95, and, you know, it's a different offense. So, you know, these personnel people have their work cut out for them here.
More so now than ever.
More so than ever. But Christensen also said, and it was funny, he was very careful to not call himself a Patriots fan, which was funny.
He kept saying he admires them, but I don't like the Patriots.
But yeah,
because he got a Colts background. They hate the Patriots.
But he talked a lot about how much the Patriots are ahead of the curve in their evaluation and just the way they consistently evaluate well, but also coach up well. And when he talked about the fundamentals,
yes,
the Patriots are definitely at elite at coaching fundamentals.
And that's when he talked about how too many coaches, they just want to drop pretty plays. They're not worried about the core fundamentals.
This is just life at the NFL Scouting Combine. We get to talk to different people, see different people, schmooze with different people, and I'm happy we can share this knowledge with the good Bucs fans of Tampa Bay.
I was going to add something else. Add to the, you know, I made a comment about Light was sitting in on an interview with Jared Goff. You know, I saw this on a comment on JoeBucsFan.com this week. You know, I heard the Bucs have interviewed three quarterbacks, and people were making the leap to say, well, they're interviewing quarterbacks. That means they're getting rid of Jameis. Folks, I can tell you, every player here at the Combine, no matter the position, every team will interview him at some point. When it starts to get serious is when a player is worked out by a team. That's when it starts getting serious, because teams aren't going to spend the money and waste the time to fly a coach or coaches to State College, Pennsylvania, or, you know, you pick the town, to work out a player. They're not going to do that unless there's interest. That's when you know they're starting to get serious. But like I said, every player here at the Combine will be interviewed by every team. It could be just a scout. It could be a flunky for Light. It could be Light himself. It could be Arians. It could be Christensen. But every player will be interviewed by every team before this Combine is over with.
The sort of maybe the dividing line there is there's the informal interview, the players who will talk about the formal interview, but they all do get spoken to. And I think it's even more worth emphasizing that with the Buccaneers' gigantic coaching staff, and the coaches are here, they'd be wasting time if they weren't interviewing all these guys.
Yeah, they'd probably be at Elmo's or Prime 47 or Hooters.
And we also learned here at the Combine that Tom Moore, Buccaneers' historic quarterback consultant.
Drinks Manhattans at 6 o'clock at Elmo's.
Yeah, he likes to drink Manhattans. So I think it's time for us to
go to Elmo's,
throw down a Manhattan and talk to Tom Moore. So, but that's how it is here. Big reason, you know, for our Joe Bucs fans, Lee, and anybody who really is still listening to this segment right now, they're Joe Bucs fans. You know, big part of why we come here is to get the bigger picture on things, to go to an NFL event, even a game out of town, whatever it is. You get a bigger picture talking to people and just putting together the puzzle of the everything that is the Bucs and the league and how the Bucs relate to the league. Because you're not going to get that from Buccaneers.com or from Jason Light talking to you twice a year at a public forum.
Yeah.
And the spin that comes from any organization.
Jason Light talking. Yeah, I guess he does talk twice a year. Both within the same weekend, the draft.
Now, he talks to us, but it's different when it's a, you know, open press conference kind
of setup.
Well,
this afternoon is a perfect example. What did we learn this afternoon? Okay, this is Howard Stern. What did we learn today? Well, we learned today... Yeah, we learned about the brunette, and we also learned that Clyde Christensen, you know, we learned all about Clyde Christensen and fundamentals. We learned about how Jameis is workaholic. We learned that Tom Moore likes Manhattans at 6 o'clock. We learned information from D. Orlando Ledbetter, and we learned a lot in just a couple hours just by coming here. We would not have learned that in Florida.
Yeah, and there's so many more people we could list, and there's more coming.
Mooch, Greg Cosell.
Or Ledbetter is someone who will be on a future podcast, which will be exciting as well to get his perspective on Ira. And we take you inside the Hall of Fame room from somebody who's not connected. Ledbetter is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution beat writer, and give you some perspective from the Falcons' point of view and what's going on there. So fun times continue at the NFL Scouting Combine, and I'm not going to take on that bench press, Lee, so I'm out of here. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. A bonus edition. Remember, still two episodes to go with Ira in the flesh, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the last 60 years. The dealership just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. And again, our thanks to Big Storm. Big Storm beer, drink it all day long. BigStormBrewery.com is the website. And Pin Chasers, we appreciate their support. That's where you bowl in the Tampa Bay area, pinchasers.net. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, many other platforms. All that means is you just click a button and you get a free alert when a new episode drops. So a lot of people enjoy that, or you can join the thousands of people who listen at joebucsfan.com. We appreciate your support. A lot of good stuff on the website today, Monday, March 2nd. The comments from Rondé Barber are extraordinary, really very, very telling when you consider where Barber stands in the Buccaneers hierarchy of the current organization and his relationships. Powerful stuff if you haven't read it. I am sure Ira will be talking all about it a little bit later this week, and we do have that interview with D'Orlando Ledbetter, which is really very strong, coming up later this week as well. And again, 2 weeks from free agency, so stick with JoeBucksFan.com. We had a great month in February. Thanks to all of you, and we'll see you next time on the Ira Kaufman Podcast.